Back in on the Kintech studio, it's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. Canuck Central continues. Canuck Central is for Ensign Pacific, Vancouver's premier Chrysler, Dodge, Ram, and Jeep superstore on 2nd Avenue between Cambie and Main, or at ensignpacificchrysler.ca. I got to be honest, there is some dates in a there's a happy Ramadan setup in the atrium here at the Rogers building, and there's some dates in the kitchen that they're giving out. I have smashed like 12 dates already.
They're very high in calories.
I understand that, Sat. But
they're
delicious.
They are very good.
It's a nice little sweet snack.
You know what's underrated? Putting a date in your smoothie.
Oh yeah, that I can see that would be good. Instead of honey or
really
something
good.
Like that.
Oh, so much better.
Dates, underrated. All right, it's time for Overrated, Underrated Wednesday. And when I said dates, I mean like, you know, like the fruit.
The fruit.
Dates, yeah. Dry dates, yes. You're not talking about actually, I mean, depends. I mean, nowadays with this economy, going on dates might be overrated. But
bro. We cut it down to one a month in my household, I'll say that much.
Yeah.
Trying to, at least. Yeah.
No, I mean, it's one of those things. I will say, you know, being cooped up at home for 5 days, you know, there's a... You know, I haven't gone on too many expensive dates with my lady.
Sat's ready to take on the town.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, there's a new Italian joint that just opened up just up Cambie, so not too far from here. I might try that soon.
Oh, nice. Well, you gotta let me know how it is.
All right.
For the March date.
Yes, for the March date.
Count it.
I lied. We go on way too many dates. But it's like, sometimes it's... I say that sounds like so bad, but we eat out too much is what I meant to say.
Yes.
And at the same time, though, like going to the grocery store, it's just like...
It's a big bill.
It's a hit to the wallet every single time.
It's a big bill wherever you go.
Sometimes it feels like it could be cheaper to eat out. It never is, but it feels that way compared to like the time and all the investment you have to go into at the grocery store. Man, life, adulting, the worst. Overrated. So overrated.
Gonna say it. Adulting.
Yes.
Adulting. Right. Very good.
We're going to go back to hockey.
Yes, please.
We'll start with Amon. The Canucks have the best record in the West versus current playoff teams in the NHL.
Is that overrated or underrated?
Is that overrated or underrated?
Underrated.
It feels as though nobody would understand that or believe that when you say the statement out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Given every time the Canucks lose to a future playoff team, it's like, we're the worst. We can only beat Montreal and Buffalo. Which is categorically untrue when you have 98 points at this stage of the season. You've beaten a lot more than just the bottom feeders of the National Hockey League. But yes, the Canucks record is pretty good, and that should be... It is underrated because I think most fans have downplayed or... seem to not realize that the Canucks record has actually been really good against some playoff teams.
Well, and that's why you know, on the postgame show, oftentimes, you know, I've kind of got into it with people and said, like, you know, it's a narrative, not fact. It's like, true, you can say there are certain spots they've lost to good teams, but it's categorically false saying they don't have a good record against good teams. They actually do. And it's like, sure, and like, well, other teams actually have worse records against good teams. So where's your argument there? It's like, well, come the postseason. It's like the goalposts always move.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it is what it is.
I think it's more just the postseason is a different ballgame. And, you know, it's a new season altogether. So whatever happened during the regular season, it means absolutely nothing once that first game, April 20th, hits.
Many Canucks fans are wondering if Elias Lindholm will be healthy and ready to go when the playoffs start. Rick Tocchet's words today made it seem pretty minor. So overrated, underrated, the Lindholm injury from Austin.
I would say it's being overrated. Everything's a bit overrated. Like, I don't think it's one of those situations where you're worried about him needing surgery or something right away or whatever it is. And there's some thought that you probably could play through it if you had to. The amount of time you need off, like, I don't know. I think it's a bit overrated, the whole thing, to be honest.
I'd say it is... I think it's underrated in the sense of what Lindholm's brought to this team, as we just outlined with Kevin Woodley, which you can find now available on podcast via the Canuck Central podcast feed. What he's added, even though the player everybody is saying, and we've had text, I've had people in my mentions saying this is the worst trade in Canucks history, as if the OEL trade never existed. And it's not that. It hasn't worked out offensively for Lindholm, but he's quite clearly added another layer to this collective team defense that is part of what separates the Canucks from other opponents in the Western Conference and what could make them more of a contender in the playoffs than some people are willing to give them credit for. So yeah, I think Elias Lindholm's injury, I think it's a bigger deal than what people have made it out to be. But as Sat mentioned, maybe it's not as serious as some people are thinking it might be.
On a similar topic, Ernest would like to know, trading for damaged goods at the deadline.
Well, obviously overrated.
Yes.
But I mean, I don't think it's a situation where...
Is Ernest hinting at something? Does Ernest know something that we don't?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, others have texted in too. Yeah. There's somebody else that texted in and said, you know, Mike in downtown Kelowna said, you know, management should be reprimanded if they knew he was injured. Like, I don't think anybody had any... I don't think anybody thought he was injured, that he would need to miss time like this. Like, I don't think that's the case.
Yeah. I would say don't trade for damaged goods if you can avoid it. However, the Vegas Golden Knights trading for Jack Eichel when he had a broken neck, I think it worked out. So, I don't know. This isn't...
They got a ring.
You can't live in absolutes.
Potential trades. Filip Hronek.
Oof.
Come the draft this year, to avoid any contract situation, trade him at his peak, get the most value.
Trading Hronek at the draft?
Mm-hmm.
Underrated.
Oh,
wow, Scott.
No.
Wow.
Are we really going there?
Your top right-handed shot defenseman?
I'm not saying trade him. I'm just saying, if to answer the question, it's underrated. If you're going to trade Hronek, the draft is an underrated time to do it.
Okay. Oh.
I feel like, right? We spent so long trying to find a right-handed shot defenseman, a very solid,
yeah,
very good right-handed shot defenseman, and the Canucks have one. And then to just let him go?
No, I'm not saying let him go. I'm just saying, like, if he's adamant that he wants $8 million per season, like, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good, man. Like, he's good. He's not that good. And you know, I'm a big fan of what he brings, of course. Like, it'd be nice for them to lock him in long-term, but... I don't know, man. Like, especially when you watch him more and closer. Like, to me, he's not a number two. I just don't think he's a number two. Not a true number two. Like, he is playing with Hughes, but not a true number two.
Do you think that the Canucks are splitting him up in last game, maybe moving forward, just to kind of see if he can drive his own pair?
Yeah.
And use that as a bargaining chip?
I think I'm going to take Tocchet at his word. They were trying to feel out some matchup things against a potential playoff opponent in the LA Kings. So seeing what could potentially work in those scenarios, I'm going to take the coach at his word because he's been pretty honest with us most of the time. My contention with this is just how good the Hughes-Hronek pair has been. All season long, it's been pretty damn good. And something that is going to, as good as Quinn Hughes is, won't be easy to replicate, especially when I look at the potential options in unrestricted free agency this summer. Sure, there's Chris Tanev. Do you really want to overpay for, what's he going to be, 34 at the time that he hits free agency, 33, 34? That's a lot to ask. That could be risky considering how much interest is going to be into Chris Tanev. It's not a slam dunk that moving on from Hronek is the best move possible. Do I want to pay him $8 million a year? Absolutely not. I don't think he's worth that. But there's a lot of value in keeping Hughes and Hronek together, in my estimation. So I'll say it's overrated.
Loading up on the top pair for defense. So over it, underrated, the next question would be, what about loading up on the top two lines for the playoffs by playing Garland and maybe a healthy Joshua up? And then spreading out the bottom two lines with Suter, Bluger, but really, really honing in on the top six.
So how would this work then? I guess you're putting, let's play this out, Sat. What would the top six be? Like Hoglander, Miller, Besser, and then Joshua, Pedersen, Garland?
Or do you just throw
Joshua with Miller and Besser and keep Garland where he is with Hoglander and Pedersen?
I think you would have to have Garland up there somehow, right?
Yeah. As the texter points out, keeping Garland and Joshua in the top six and loading up the top six. I'm not sure it's loading up the top six when you got two guys with less than 15 goals on the season, but
yeah.
these are the options for the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's one of those things. It's like, sure, I think more, though, if you're loading up, it's because you're responding and you're trailing in a series or a game.
Yeah.
Because if you're able to spread it out, so to speak, and I do think it's been kind of awkward. Like, if Lindholm had shown that he had played well with Pedersen or Miller, maybe that you'd be easier for you to talk me into that, for instance.
Yeah.
But when he hasn't, and he's been better on his own line, as tough as that is, I think, for him too, right, to kind of come to grips with to some degree, like, I think they're at their best when they're doing that. So I think when you're loading up, it sounds good in theory, but in practicality, they haven't really shown an ability to pull that off, really, unless you're going Lotto line.
Yeah.
You go Lotto line, and then you go Lindholm with Garland and Joshua?
Ooh.
That's what I was thinking. You put the Lotto line together, and then you let Lindholm be your second line center. And instead of the third line, you replace Teddy Bluger with Elias Lindholm.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you could. And you got Bluger and Suter. I do think you kind of wash out your third and fourth lines a bit more. Because when you do have your four centers down the middle, like, I don't think they have a weakness.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean they're going to dominate every line, but I don't think they have a line that you feel bad about. Like, if that fourth line with Suter had to go out and take a draw against McDavid or Jack Eichel, like, you're not terrified. It's not ideal, but you're not sitting there saying, oh my God, like, we're going to get crushed this shift necessarily.
I just think the Canucks' best lineup for what makes them great, and that's the defensive side of the puck, is having those four centers on separate lines. And going with it that way. And just trying to figure out your wingers as you go.
Yeah.
As much as it's kind of painful at times, I feel like that's the best option to go with.
Yeah, I said Suter. I meant Bluger, because he'd be playing center. And Bluger, like, you don't feel and worry about him at all. I mean, the way he's played, they've actually matched him up at times against other teams' top lines. And that's your fourth line center? You know, like, I feel pretty good. And, like, imagine he has, put Colson and Lafferty on his wings.
Pretty good. All right, next.
For a bit there, the Canucks split up their power play units didn't go top heavy. Speaking of the power play, overrated, underrated on the thought of trying Petey at the bumper spot? Maybe some less turnovers on the wall, could get some more shots on net. Would it be worth maybe trying that in the next 10 games?
So then who goes to the right half wall?
You put Besser there, and then you can put Lindholm.
But Besser on his strong side, does that...
Yeah, it's not ideal, but, that's kind of what you would have to do. I don't put Suter there, for instance.
Would you flip Miller and Besser, have Miller play
PD spot?
But then it doesn't work. Then there's no point in having the lefty in the bumper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're going to have to put a righty on the strong side. I just think you don't think you have a choice. Like,
because
you can't have Suter play that wall. You can't have him on a half wall, right? So not on the first unit, at the very least. So I think that's really your only option. If that's what you want to do, I don't mind seeing Pedersen at times in the bumper. I do think, though, like, he kind of has a long stick too. Like, I just don't think, I just think it's not as easy to get a slap shot off. It has to be a quick snapper or a quick wrist shot, but he's not a guy that necessarily gets the shot off really quickly. And he has a long stick too. So it has to be, like, you even see on his one timer, he's not Ovechkin. He can't just pick up any shot from any radius, right?
Yeah.
It has to kind of be within a sweet spot. So I'm just not sure if the type of shooter he is, it even fits into a quick shooting bumper type player anyways. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not 100% sold on it.
I'd say it's overrated, but they've got to keep Miller on the left half wall. That's ultimately the straw that stirs the drink for the power play, in my estimation. All right, next.
The Nashville Predators, the hottest team in the NHL. You talked with them a little bit?
Yeah.
But
17-2-2 since the All-Star break.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is remarkably the third best record in the league.
No, they're really good. I would lean a bit overrated, though.
Yeah.
That's how I would kind of lean. Like, they're hot. They're really hot. And and they did some good stuff at the deadline. And sometimes that confidence, man, you get in the postseason, it can have everybody playing at a level you never imagined, and you have to account for that. But I'm still not like shaking in my boots thinking of playing the Nashville Predators compared to other Western Conference teams.
Nashville, like, they've found a gear that I didn't know they really have. And you saw it a little bit last night against Vegas. They can get a ton of shots off. They really just can overload you and overwhelm opposing teams at different points. Andrew Brunette's a really good coach. I know maybe people downplayed what he did in Florida, but he is proving now with Nashville that that guy can get his teams to play some good offensive hockey. And maybe the Canucks match up well against that because they defend super well, but it would be a difficult matchup, no doubt. No layups in the Western Conference is the obvious answer here. But right now, Nashville might be overrated due to their hot streak.
Not because their play styles match up specifically, but it's kind of giving 2012 LA Kings vibes. Like coming into the playoffs, just rolling.
Yeah.
And you have the momentum. And momentum is so big in the postseason that...
Absolutely.
It's scary.
The only thing, though, is like when I looked at that team, the LA Kings, and you compare it to this Nashville team, and yes, I think, you know, Philip Forsberg and Ryan O'Reilly for sure, but like those are like the only two forwards.
Yeah.
You know, like they have other good forwards, but like, where's the Jeff Carter? You know, like, you know, where's the Anze? Like they have, you may talk yourself into, okay, well, they have, let's say they have the Kopitar and O'Reilly, and they have
the Doughty and the Quick.
Sure, Doughty and the Quick, right? And one of the wingers. Like, I just don't know if they have the rest. Like, they have the rest. I mean, once you get past, like, their top-end guys, like, even Gustav Nyquist is kind of playing at a level where, like, I'm just not sure he's that type of player still. You know what I mean? Like, he's 34, he's got 65 points. I think he's riding a lot. Like, I don't know. I just think the overall depth of that team getting into the postseason, there are spots where I just think the overall skill level is just not where it needs to be against some of the top teams in the Western Conference.
I also know, like... some people have been fawning over Nashville's underlying numbers and underlying metrics and stuff. And as we always tell you here on Canucks Central, be careful with those kinds of numbers because guess what? For as much as Nashville has a great expected goals for percentage right now, Sad, at 53.5%, which is sixth best in the league since the All-Star break, guess what? The Vancouver Canucks are 3 percentage points better and third in the league when it comes to expected goals. They also control high danger chances per natural stat trick at a 58% clip, which is much better than the Nashville Predators since the All-Star break. So, you know, yeah, Nashville's doing a lot of things well right now, and the record shows it. But, you know, I'd also be wary of citing some of those underlying metrics, because if you think, oh, Canucks have been playing bad and Nashville's really good, that's a recipe for disaster. It's like, well, I don't know. I don't know if that adds up, if that checks out the way you might think it might.
Moving on, the end of the Kings game, much was talked about the ice surface towards the end of the game. Puck was bobbling a little bit, some mishandling of the puck. So overrated, underrated, the ice quality at Rogers Arena. And then I have a question as well after you guys answer this.
It's underrated in terms of it being a problem, because, like, it's, you know, you hear players also from opposing teams, you know, mention how they don't think Vancouver's ice is necessarily good.
Cam Talbot had to change his skates at the beginning of the game.
There's, like, the ice, it's a problem, right? Now, whether you think it's a good or bad thing for the home team, that's up for debate, considering how they've been a far more defensive team and the way they play hockey isn't off the rush, isn't necessarily built on being outskilling the opponent, especially how they defend. It may not hurt them as much as it would hurt them, let's say, if this was 2011, for instance, with how they play.
And is it true that at the end of every game, players fill out a sheet that grades the ice surface?
Yeah, according to Yannick Hansen, that's what they do.
That's a thing?
Yeah.
Wow.
they get a little card, and they got to fill out a survey. I don't know exactly how it works, but they get questioned on the quality of ice surface around the league.
Not a good grade for Vancouver.
Probably not.
On Monday night.
No.
Yeah.
since that little heat wave we had in mid-March here, it's been a talking point.
mid-March and Easter's coming up, early Easter this year. Serving ham at Easter dinner. Overrated, underrated?
Overrated. Why are we serving ham?
Really?
What do you serve?
Does it have to be turkey on
Easter? Turkey is always preferred.
Why is turkey the meal for every holiday? Why does it have to be turkey?
I'm kind of like with Ben here. I do think anytime I go somewhere and they have a ham instead, like I'm pleasantly surprised.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Yeah.
Ham's great. Yeah. It's different. And a good ham is fantastic.
Traditionally, Italians, we would have lamb, actually, not ham.
That works, too.
Or turkey.
That'd be interesting, yeah. Or like roast beef. Fantastic.
Mm. Nice little roast beef.
Mix it up a little bit.
Nice little prime rib.
Yum.
Oh, prime rib would be, come on.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
It's Easter season. It's also cherry blossom season in Vancouver.
Here we go.
Overrated, underrated. The cherry blossom trees, but everyone taking photos of them everywhere you go.
Honestly, like, are we too cool to not appreciate how pretty the cherry blossoms are? Is that where we're at?
I will say, because I've been like, I'm still working from home today, but
yeah.
And I'm staring out my bedroom window right now, and I'm looking at cherry blossoms, and they're beautiful. And I spent a lot of time over these past 5 days battling COVID, looking at the cherry blossoms outside my window in the living room, too. So
that's wholesome.
Yeah. But also, I mean, I watched them and birds.
Yeah.
I was watching a lot of birds, too, by the way.
Bird watching?
I was bird watching.
Sat, you've reached dad levels here.
I have, man. I'm telling you. And dude, like, I saw these crows get into a fight. It was wild.
I got attacked by a goose at the golf course the other day.
Really?
You really?
I was so scared. I saw my life flash before my eyes.
Those things can be mean.
I wasn't even close to it. This thing came up at me. It was like, feet out, talons out. I'm like, I'm done. This is it. I'm done for. Dom and Josh completely oblivious. I'm like screaming over there. I'm like, no, help. It was just madness.
So you're serving that for Easter dinner.
Oh, man. This thing came at me. I was just like, bro, I'm nowhere near you right now. I'm just like, I'm calmly walking away.
That's amazing.
Was it hissing at you too?
Didn't even hiss. Didn't even give me the warning. They were just like straight at me.
I know the geese at Western University in Ontario, like, they're known for attacking. They'll just attack you.
Yeah? Oh, man.
On campus.
I know crows attack a lot, but like for all the golf courses I've been to and you're walking around, the geese always going around, it's like they've never been attacked like that. Mm. Been hissed at, but nobody's ever coming at me with their talons out.
Keep your 7-iron on you.
Yeah, seriously.
Last one here. Sat has been battling COVID. But TG would like to know whether you think cold and flu medicine is overrated or underrated.
It's underrated when you're trying to sleep.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes during the day, even, you know what, I think it's underrated in general. Like, it doesn't make you better, but I do think it helps you when you sleep, because if you can get rid of the congestion, you can actually sleep, and sleeping makes you feel better. Ergo, it helps. Like, yeah, it doesn't cure you, but it can help you sleep. And I think sleeping is very important when you're sick.
Yeah. Getting a reprieve.
Dr. Satyar Shah.
From, I got sick a couple of weeks ago just before the All-Star break, and it was rough, man. I could not survive without the cold flu medicine, because I was having that rough of a time. So.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's tough. Oh, yeah, I said I had one, though, before we get out. That three-body problem show on Netflix?
Yes.
It's a bit overrated. Like, I... Now, I hope season two comes, because I'm now invested in it. I want to read the books, because I've heard good things about the books. It's like a trilogy of books or something, apparently. And it's very interesting. It's right up my alley. But, you know, it's like, I'm glad I watched it, but I was left wanting.
Science Sat didn't love it.
No, the science part was actually very interesting. Just the whole execution of it was just, I mean, some good things going for it, but, you know, could have done better.
I've been watching The Gentleman, the Guy Ritchie one.
Yeah, I've seen a few episodes of that.
I haven't seen it yet. I've heard good things.
It's very Guy Ritchie. Okay.
Yes, very Guy Ritchie.
So if you're a Guy Ritchie fan, it'll be right up your alley. But also, it just kind of feels like they're on a different mission every episode.
Yeah, that's the thing that kind of got me. I'm like, where is this going? Like,
I don't know if I see where the ending is headed, but like right now, it's just like okay, so this is the mission of the episode. This is what they're going to do. It's very similar to like Sons of Anarchy in that way.
Yeah, it's like Scooby-Doo almost. New adventure every day. Something new they have to solve.
All right, it's Dan Riccio, Sat TR Shaw. We'll do some overrated, underrated overflow and close out the show next on Sportsnet 650.